I think it's fair to say that there isn't a single self-development technique that has been more widely practiced throughout the history of humanity than prayer. Okay? And I've done a lot of praying, a lot of different kinds of praying, you know? And I've also spent a lot of time not praying at all, being like, oh, that's dumb, doesn't work, and doing other kinds of stuff like mindset, positive thinking, meditation, and that sort of thing. And what I found is that a lot of prayer just feels like you're talking into the wind. And I'm not saying and making any other spiritual claims other than that's what it feels like. It seems to get you really kind of nothing. And I would say that on the mindset side of things, of the meditation side of things, yes, 100%, there is a lot of value to be found there. But I would say that there is also lots of limitations. They seem to primarily affect a lot of secondary, tertiary sorts of things. But what I've discovered is that there is a specific kind of prayer, a very, very simple kind of prayer that has tremendous, tremendous benefits. It's very easy to do. And what's cool is that even if you're an atheist, I will be presenting to you an argument for how you can use it and even have it logically make sense to you. And I call this tactical prayer. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you guys today. So the first thing we got to understand about this is, like, what is the problem we're trying to solve? And really the problem we're trying to solve is the problem of suffering. Okay, particularly the kind of suffering that is caused by negative emotion. Because our brain is incredibly adept at creating negative emotion. In fact, our brain is a lot better at creating negative emotion and will do so more readily than creating positive emotion. And, you know, if you want to look at this from an evolutionary science kind of perspective, the argument is that, you know, negative emotion, it keeps us away from dangers. And our brain has to be focused more on keeping us away from dangers, or else we might die. And if we die, the game's over, right? So there has to be this emphasis on negative emotion, because it's the negative emotion that generally keeps us alive. You know, it's the thing that keeps us afraid of that tiger in the jungle. It keeps us afraid of that risky gamble that, you know, loses all our resources, basically anything that jeopardizes our ability to thrive, reproduce, live, etc. Okay, so our brain produces so much negative emotion. Now, the problem with the way that most people experience negative emotion is I would say that it puts people in a state of deprivation. That's fundamentally what causes the negative emotion. But if you stay there, you feel deprived. Like this, people also call this a lack mentality. So you take any negative emotion. So it's like a fear of getting rejected by a woman. Okay, well, that's basically you being afraid of being deprived of a woman's affirmation, a woman saying yes to your advances, right? If you're feeling negative emotion because you feel hungover, right? You are essentially feeling deprived of health. And this state of deprivation, it's good as an initial signal. It tells us, hey, there's an issue here. It's like a little flag. But if we don't do anything with it, then essentially what happens is, psychologically, a state of deprivation is being at war with reality. The reality is either, hey, you don't have this thing that you want, or it might be forward facing into the future of like, oh, you might not get this thing that you want, like if you're feeling anxious or worried about something happening, or it might just put you at war with the truth of the past, where it's like, oh, this bad thing happened and I didn't get the good thing, and oh, now I'm just gonna have to hate the way reality unfolded, right? And so people will get stuck in this cycle of negativity, and they don't really know how to shift it. And I believe that the most positive perspective we can look at when looking at negative emotion is to view negative emotion as a source of power. All right, like I have a ebook I wrote. It's called Anabolic Optimism. And I think it's in many ways one of the best things I've ever written. And in it, I have all these different anabolic axioms for mindset, for, you know, how you should approach problems, pain, suffering, that sort of thing. And one of the axioms in there is this idea of pain is just power wrapped in a puzzle. And so the question is, like, how can we turn the pain that we experience, our states of deprivation, how can we turn that into a fuel source? How can we turn that into a source of power? Okay. And what's interesting, it hit me the other night. It's like, I like to think of things in like a emergent psychology sort of perspective. You know, Jordan Peterson has this idea that we act things out far before we actually understand what we are doing, far before we can abstract out the core principle. So, for example, the thing that he talks about is like, you know, people would always like sacrifice animals and stuff to God. You know, they would take, you know, their animals, which was essentially like money to them, and they would light it on fire. Or that, you know, they would take their grain, their crops, and they would just burn some of it. Okay, it's like, why would they do that? You know, it's like someone taking a few $100 bills and just, you know, blowing it up. Well, because symbolically, they were acting out this idea of, hey, if I sacrifice now, I can get something better in the future. If I can learn how to practice this idea of delayed gratification, then that unlocks a tremendous amount of power. But it took us, you know, a long time to understand what we were doing. And you could argue that there is more stuff going on there, but that's just the example he gives. And I think in this case, we're doing a similar sort of thing with video games. The male psyche is obsessed with video games today. You know, it's a is it $1 billion? It's got to be a $1 billion industry. It's huge, right? And in that, one of the most common tropes, one of the things that's in almost every game, not every game, but most games, is this idea of, hey, if I slay this monster, I take this negative thing and I defeat it, well, then it turns into resources. Those resources could be experience points, it could be gold, it could be some kind of currency in the game, like, you know, it could be skill points that you use to level up. But basically, it's this idea of, hey, there's this thing, it's an enemy, it's a bad thing, it's a negative thing, but by interacting with it in a certain way, dancing with it in a certain way, conquering it, fighting it, whatever, it turns into power, okay? And I believe that this, what we're getting at unconsciously, is that this is how we are supposed to deal with our problems. This is how we're supposed to deal with our negativity. We're supposed to learn how to harness it. Now, the question is, how do we do that? How do we turn our negative emotional states into power? Well, I think there's a number of different answers to this. So one popular answer now is the idea of positive psychology. You know, and in this case, it's like looking at, how do I turn this into an opportunity? How do I look at this from a perspective of, how could this make me stronger? You know, what's the learning opportunity here? You know, that kind of thing. And that can work. That's useful. But sometimes you just don't really care about it. You don't really, like, you see a potential opportunity, and it's like, logically, I see that, but emotionally, nothing shifts. It feels too big of a leap for your emotional mind. So, for example, like, you know, someone who's in the midst of dealing with some kind of craving. So, you know, a guy trying to quit porn, or someone who's trying to clean up their diet, when they're feeling a craving, yes, logically, they can step into the frame of like, oh, this pain is just weakness leaving the body, or like, this is me rewiring my brain, or, you know, whatever it is. They can look at this, they can say, oh, this is me leveling up. They can reframe the discomfort that they're feeling, and they can see it as, hey, this is me getting stronger. But emotionally, the impact there, I would say, tends to be marginal. All right. And specifically for recurring thoughts, recurring negative emotions, I've found this to be less than optimum. It's a great thing, and you should do it. I'm not saying don't do this. Do it. But I don't think that's the full perspective. Now, there's also an issue with the positive psychology where it ends up kind of like becoming almost a repressive act, where it's like, I'm not allowed to feel my negative emotions. I have to constantly reframe it and turn it into a positive. And then if I look at it as a positive, well, then I shouldn't be feeling negative. And it kind of puts you at war with your primal tendency to feel negative emotion. And so this can become its own sort of repressive thing. So I'll see this with guys who are trying to quit porn. They're getting like deep into the weeds of it. You know, they're deep into the process, and a lot of negative shit's popping up. You know, all the stuff that they've been pressing down with, you know, porn use and other kinds of escapism starts to bubble to the surface. And if they just have this positive psychology framework of like, oh, I need to reframe this. I need to, you know, I see it as a good thing, see it as a strength, see it as a blah, blah, blah. Then they never actually get to feel the negative emotion. And if they never actually feel the negative emotion, then they don't actually touch those parts of their neural pathways. And then there's a lack of transformation, because in some ways you need to actively touch the negative emotions if you ever want to truly shift them. And I think this pure hardcore positive psychology perspective actually kind of creates a barrier to that. And it tends to create greater short-term gains, but the long-term progress I've found to be rather limited, okay? And so there's another form of this, which I would say is almost worse in that regard, and that's the abundance mindset stuff. Now, that's where if you're not familiar with this, there's this, you know, movement. It's kind of like a new agey sort of thing, but it's not entirely that, you know, like non-new age people practice it as well. And I've definitely been in it a fair bit myself, but it's this idea of believing that you have everything you need. Like all your lack is just an illusion, right? It's like, you have all the riches you need. You have all the power you need. You already are the embodiment of God and all this kind of stuff. And so like when you're practicing this abundance mentality stuff, practically speaking, what it seems to actually play out as is you trying to constantly trick yourself. Constantly trying to trick yourself into thinking, oh no, I'm not feeling deprived. Oh no, I'm not feeling lack. I'm feeling abundance. I already have everything. And on some levels, this is just going to be repressive, like I was just saying. But in the worst cases, it ends up being a lie. You know, you try to tell yourself you have stuff that you don't. It's like you don't got any money. You're like, oh, I'm the richest man in the universe, or whatever it is. You know, people practice with the abundance mindset stuff. Like, you know, they believe that I'm going to get everything that I want. Okay, that I think it ends up like not quite letting you actually hold the negative emotion. And it also by itself doesn't create the bridge to shift the negative emotion. And so again, we're kind of in the same issue where it's like, well, shit, how do I actually deal with the real negative emotion? The real shit that sits in what I call the pain pocket, the heart center, that most of us keep bottled up until eventually it just explodes out in some form of escapist behavior, because it's like, oh, I can't feel this anymore. I can't stand this anymore. I need a release. I need to let this out. And this is when people tend to reach toward their worst vices and things like that. So what can you do? And this is where my idea of tactical prayer comes in. All right. It's a very, very simple process. All you have to do is you turn every situation of deprivation, every negative emotion built on some kind of lack, because all negative emotion is built on some kind of lacking something you want, and you just turn it into supplication. Just asking. That's it. So, for example, if you're afraid of getting rejected by a woman, you just turn it into a prayer. Please, God, help this woman, you know, accept my offer to go on a date. You know, dear Lord, please give me the strength and the courage to approach this woman and succeed. You know, and then if it's like, you can also take it further. It's like, and if she says no, please give me the poise and the grace to not be hurt by it, to stay connected to my sense of worth and dignity, and to wish her well and move on to the next woman. That's it. So if you do get rejected, say a woman does reject you, it's like, please, Lord, let me let go of the sting of this rejection. Please let me wish her well and stay connected to my inherent sense of sexual worth and value as a man. All right. If you're dealing with a craving, it's like, please, Lord, take this craving away from me. Please, Lord, give me the strength to overcome this craving. Okay. And just to be clear, I'm not saying that this will actually give you the strength to do it. In a lot of cases, you do need more tactics. And this is what I cover in depth in my Reforged Man course, in great detail, because some things are just more complicated. They need a full system, a full process, a full framework to make stuff happen. This is just like a super high level, all encompassing sort of mindset strategy. So another example is like you're preparing for a big presentation at work. It's like, please, Lord, help this presentation go well, right? Instead of sitting there being like, oh, I'm wondering what, I hope the boss likes it. You say, please, Lord, help you know, me hit the right notes so that my boss realizes the value in what I'm doing, you know? That kind of thing. Literally, you can just turn every negative worry into a supplicative prayer. And when you do this, now I'm going to get into the argument of like why you should do this, even if you're an atheist, okay? Because it changes the way your brain holds things. So a normal negative emotion is like, oh, this bad thing's happening, or oh, this bad thing could happen. Oh, I'm worried about this thing, all right? And if we instead just shift it to, here's what I want to have happen. Please, Lord, let this happen. It changes the way our brain carries it. So much like how our physical bodies have certain biomechanics that allow us to do things, so does, I believe, our brain. So for example, like if you are going to carry 20 pounds and you try and carry 20 pounds straight out in front of you like this, all right, you could probably do it for a minute or two, but then your arms are going to be tired and you're going to have to drop it. And if you keep doing it, well, guess what? You might, you know, screw up your delts. You'll be really sore the next day and you're going to be cranky. You're going to be in pain. And eventually you're not even going to be able to carry it anymore. Okay. But if you take that 20 pounds and you put it in a, you know, well-made backpack, you could probably carry that all day. You can carry it for hours and hours and hours. Why? Because it's carried differently. The way you carry things matters, right? Like you can deadlift, like with your back all twisted up and, you know, lower back rounded, and you could deadlift something, sure, but you're going to jack your shit up real quick. It's going to hurt. But if you deadlift with good form, you can lift a pretty significant amount of weight. Same sort of thing with negative thoughts. The way in which we hold them matters. And so when you put them in the framework of a supplicative prayer, what you're doing is you are, one, acknowledging the lack, creating a space to feel the negative emotion, but you are channeling that negative emotion into a positive intention. And think about that word, intention. It's a, you're literally putting it into a psychological tension. And when you don't do this, like you think about like just free-floating anxiety, people talk about that. What that is negativity without tension. It's just floating there. When you just think about a negative thing, it's like, oh, this bad thing happened. Just the emotion is floating around all around, just like this big bubble inside of your brain. It's like it's just going through your neural network in an uncontrolled manner. But when you take that and you articulate a clear desire, what do you want to have happen? And you do that, you find a desire that you're willing to psychologically get behind, it puts it into tension. It puts it into a state that allows you to hold it with far, far, far less pain and with far greater stamina. And also it has an even greater effect in that it orients your psychology to start producing things that can support your desired outcome. So our brain is an incredible creative machine. And whenever we give it an intention, what we do is we're basically seeding it with the ability to support, like our subconscious will start spitting shit out to support that goal, right? And so like, for example, if like, you know, you go into problem solving mode, you orient your mind around some kind of solution oriented thing, it'll start popping out ideas. It's like, hey, you could do this, or hey, you could do that, or hey, what about this, 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 and this, this? That's what we want, right? And so when you create an intention, what you're doing is you're creating like a little bit of a psychological orbit that then all your creative forces and faculties can go into serving. And this leads to a lot of positive results. Now, you might be wondering like, well, I don't like the idea of praying to God. I don't believe in God. Okay, that's fine. You can pray to the universe. Or I guess you could, in some sense, you could pray even to yourself, like you say, Lord is your subconscious. But the problem with, you know, that is that if you have limiting beliefs about yourself, well, then that's going to limit that creative faculty, that part that offers solutions. And so by tapping into God, I think, you know, people can tap into a wider sense of things. Also, if you are praying to the universe and you don't believe the universe is necessarily a good place, again, that's going to calibrate what then pops out of your psychology. So it's like if you believe the universe is a bad place and you pray to the universe to help you with this presentation you're working on, you say, oh, please, universe, help me with this presentation. Well, and you think the universe is a bad place, well, then your brain might start producing all these ideas of like, ah, oh, well, you know, this is all pointless. Ah, the universe fucking hates me. You know, God, you know, I'm going to screw this up. And it's going to start spitting out shit that you don't want. Believing in a God, particularly like a Judeo-Christian kind of God who loves us, who ultimately wants the good for you, you send your prayer that direction. Well, then that's what primes your psychology, and then you're going to produce more positive results. Your subconscious will produce far more things that are far more beneficial to help you actually solve the scenario, along with allowing you to more easily carry everything. So it's like my point here is that even if you don't believe in an all-loving God, what if you just created one in your brain, okay? You can say it's basically you, but it's just a particular part of you. And that's the part you want to pray to. Give it a shot. Start praying to it constantly. You can reframe everything like that. You know, every negative emotion that comes in your mind, you can turn into, please, Lord, let. Please, Gore, give me the strength to. And watch what happens. Just watch what happens. And then, to take it even further, you can do it for positive emotions too. Like, a lot of times I feel like we don't actually feel our positive emotions. We just let them like go underneath the radar. But if you take the time to turn those into praise, thank you, Lord, for this. You know, praise God, this happened. What that does is, one, it lets you feel the emotion more, and that reinforces it. And that can create learning events that can reinforce good behaviors, good patterns, and everything like that. And it just generally strengthens. It creates this feedback mechanism where you get more positive emotion. So I want you guys to try this, all right? I want you guys to let me know what happens if you were to do this, especially if you're someone who struggles with anxiety, especially if you're someone who struggles with worry, with fear, okay? What happens if you start turning all of that stuff into a prayer and you just do it? I don't think there's a limit to how much you can do this. It seems like the more I do it, the better my life gets, the cleaner my mind gets, like with everything. You know, if I get frustrated with my daughter, please, Lord, give me strength and patience. You know, if I, you know, got a lot of work to do, please, Lord, give me the focus and motivation I need to do this. Like, continuously. And as you do this, it's kind of just like you're taking these wild tendrils of negative emotion and you're just locking them all down with, like, kind of like you're hammering in these tent poles, like, just like, and everything just starts to get ordered in your psychology. And so what you can do then is, like, you know, match the intensity of the prayer with the intensity of the emotion. So if it's a minor negative emotion, it's a minor prayer. If it's a super big negative emotion, go freaking hard on it. You know, say it over and over and over again. Flesh it out in a million different directions. Because most people, they do the opposite with their negative emotion. They let it spiral out into a million worst case scenarios. Okay? Let that instead spiral out into a million little, like, alternative prayers that look at all the different ways in which things could go wrong, and then you pray for how you wish they did go wrong or go right. Okay. So give this a shot, this tactical prayer strategy. I think a lot of you guys are going to absolutely love it. Particularly, I'd be interested in hearing what an agnostic or an atheist thinks of this practice if they give it a shot. Since I'm not agnostic or atheist anymore, I kind of can't run that experiment on myself. And so I would like to see what happens with you guys that do give that a shot. But I know the whole idea around prayer and stuff like that is not necessarily something that, I don't know. We'll see if you guys like it or not. But yeah, I figured I'd share this with you because I've seen so much great results with it in myself, and also with helping my wife, who has extreme, you know, issues with, like, anxiety and stuff from time to time. So yeah, give it a shot. Let me know what you think. Ooh, yeah. See y'all on the next one.